Today's shir is Masechta Makos Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis, six lines from the bottom. Nigma Dinay, the Ritzeich was convicted to go to the, because that he had killed B'Shogig, and he has to go to Golos to the Ir Miklat. And Nasa Koyin, and afterwards the Koyin that based on his death, the Ben Sarah, this individual would be allowed to go out. It turns out that this Kohen is a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, and he was never a Kohen. And what now is the halacha regarding this individual who is now in Golas? Pligibos says the Gemara is the subject of Machloikus of Rav Ami, Rav Nech, Riyutzug Nafcha. Charama Mesekuna. It's treated like the Kohen Gadol died. And as we've been learning, when the Kohen Gadol dies, the person who's in Golas is allowed to go out. Charama. And the other opinion holds batel kuhuna. It turns out that there was never, as we discussed in the Mishnah in our previous year, it is considered like a situation as if there was no kohen gadol at the time of the conviction, because this kohen was a pasul kohen. And as we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, that if there is a situation where there was no kohen gadol at the time of conviction, then this Ritzeach, who sent Tirei Miklat, will never be able to get out of the Ir Miklat. Suggest the Gemara, Lema, perhaps this Machloikis, which we are discussing now, is a pluk of Rebbe Lezer B'Yishua Kamifki, is actually the subject of a Machloikis of Rebbe Lezer and Yeshua. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Trumas, teaches us, Shehoya Oymed HaMakrev Agab HaMizbeach, if a kohen was doing the avodah on the mizbeach for noida, and then it is discovered shu ben grusha ben chalutza, that he is disqualified to be a kohen, Rabbi Lezer Omer kol kabanas shehikriv, all the kabanas that he brought until this day psulim, they are all disqualified because they were brought by an individual. They were brought by an individual who's not a kohen, and if it's brought by an individual who's not a kohen, then the carbon is disqualified. Rav Shua Machriv, Machshir, and Rav Shua says that the kohen that he brought, the kabbanis that he brought till today, are acceptable. Manda Amamesa, the mandam that says that Mesa Kahuna, then when we say, when we discover a kohen is possible, then the halacha is as if the kohen gadol died, is Rav Shua. It's going to be considered like this individual was a kohen till today, and now he's no longer a kohen. Mandama, however, the opinion that holds batla, then when it's discovered that this kohen gadol was really not a kohen gadol, that the entire kohuna gedolah is nullified, is following the opinion of Rav Elazar, who will say here too that this person was never a kohen, and since he was never a kohen, that's why it's all batla. Says the Gemara, we don't necessarily have to connect the two machlokes. Aliva de Rav Elazar, according to Rav Elazar, there's no machlokes, because even the man d'amar that says that it's considered as if the kuna died, Rav Elazar will hold that Rav Elazar can't agree with his opinion, and Rav Elazar is going to have to obey the kuna. So Rav Elazar is certainly going to agree there is a machlokes. Keep pligi aliv de Rishua. According to Rishua, that says only the kabbanis that he's going to bring from now on are problematic. What he brought previously are not problematic. Mandamer, so Mandamer says the mesa kahuna. So that's perfect with the opinion of Rishua, that at this point when it was discovered that he is disqualified from being a kohen, at this point from now on, his kabbanis cannot be accepted. But it has nothing to do with moving. It has nothing to do with moving forward. Mandam apostle, and the mandam that says batla, I mean patla kuna, that the kahuna that when we discovered there's a ben grusha ben chalutza, it means there was never a kohen. Says the Gemara at kala kamer Yeshua hasam. Where did Yeshua say that the kabbanis that he brought till now are not disqualified? The ksiv. Because the pasuk says Baruch Hashem Chelo Yevalav Yadav Tirtza. There's a special pasuk that teaches us that Filu Chalolin Shabbat, even that something that was brought by somebody who's not supposed to bring the avoda, there the kabbonis are still fine. Aval hocha, when we speak about a kohen who's discovered as ben grush ben chalutza, not as regarding kabbonis. Kabbonis is going to be a special halacha. A filler of Yeshua Maida, maybe Rabbi Yeshua will agree that as far as any other aspect of the kuna, we say batla kahuna. There was a shaila brought to Rav Vozner Zatzal when somebody was brought up his whole life as a kohen, and then he found documents that proved that his father, the kohen, had married his mother, who was a grusha, and then it turned out that he is a chalal, and he's not kosher to do the avoda. The question that was brought to Rav Vozner Zatzal was this person, under the assumption that he was a kohen, had been the kohen at Pinyan HaBen through his career. And now, of course, he was never qualified to be a kohen. And the question is, what is the status of all of those Pinyan HaBens? Because as we just learned, even if we'll say that as far as kabbonis that were brought before he discovered that he was disqualified, the kabbonis maybe are acceptable, but it could be as far as the anything else, we're going to say bat lakuna, and he was never a proper pinyan aben. So the question is, what should we do? So Rav Vozner said that he has to notify all of the individuals that he did a pinyan aben with, that they have to redo the pinyan aben. And not only does he have to notify that they have to redo the pinyan aben, the money that he got from them, the chomis slime that he got from them as the pinyan aben money, was money that he was not entitled to, and he asked the return. Of course, this is a very difficult sack. First of all, it's extremely embarrassing. And moreover, he doesn't necessarily remember who was all the pinyan abens that he did, to know that he has to notify them that this needs to be redone. So what should he do? So somebody suggested he should go to a different kohen, and he should go to that kohen and say that he is doing now a pinyan aben on behalf of all the kohanim, that on behalf of all the bechayrim whose original pinyan aben was a disqualified pinyan aben. And the reason the second kohen may do so is because Zochel Adam Shlebefanov, I could do something which is a favor, which is positive for you, without your knowledge. So this second kohen is doing the pinyan aben on behalf of all these bechayrim that now need a pinyan aben, without do a pinyan aben for all of them, without needing their express knowledge and permission. As far as the money is concerned, so certainly if this kohen, this individual who became disqualified kohen, has a way of remembering how many pinyan abens he did, he should give for every one of those pinyan abens that amount of money to the new kohen. Otherwise, perhaps the new kohen could say, it's as if I received the money and I'm moichlet. There are those that have an issue with this approach, because there's a rule throughout Shas, nichalei le'inish l'meved mitzvah begufei. A person prefers to do a mitzvah by himself versus having someone else do the mitzvah on their behalf. And what's happening here is that this second kohen is doing the pinyan on their behalf without their knowledge. And if they would have known, maybe they would have preferred to do the pinyan aben themselves. The Mishnah learned, nigma dinoi, we learned in the Mishnah, we learned that once the person is sentenced, he has to have golus, and it makes no difference how the individual is. Everybody who's in that status has to go to golus. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk in Melachim, Aleph, Perek Beis, tells us that David HaMelech told Shlomo before he died that he should eliminate Yoyib ben Tzruya, because he killed two individuals that he shouldn't have. We discussed this in Masechta Sanhedrin. Avner ben Ner, who was a general in Yisrael, and Amasa ben Yeser, who was a general in Yehuda. When Yoav heard about this directive, he ran to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, and he held on to the corner of Mizbeach. Because the halacha is that the Mizbeach has the same power as the Arim Miklat. But he made an error, as we're going to learn, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech was able to kill him, even though he was by the Mizbeach. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Shtei Toyos Toa Yoav Ois Hashoah, Yoav made two mistakes at that moment. The Ksiv, V'yokim Yoav Oil Hashem, V'chazek B'karnois HaMizbeach, he held on to the corners of the Mizbeach. Toa, his first mistake was, She'ena Koylet Elagagoy, it's not the corner of the Mizbeach, it's the tap, the roof of the Mizbeach, which has that power. V'utafas B'karnoisov, he held down to the corners. And also the second mistake that he made was, only the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash has this power. V'utafas B'karnos Mizbeach Shashiloi, which wasn't a Mizbeach. Another mistake that the Rishonim and Rishonim say is that Pasuk says that Mi'im Mizbechi V'loi Me'al Mizbechi, that's only when he's doing the Avodah. And of course, he wasn't even a Yisrael, and he wasn't able, his Avodah was what he did was meaningless, because he wasn't a Kohen that was able to do the Avodah. Moreover, asked the Rashba, that the halacha, that a Mizbeach has the din like Arim Miklat, so as we've been discussing in our Shurim, the Arim Miklat only work B'shoigig, and that would be the halacha by Mizbeach, but he killed B'mezid. So the Rashba says that according to Rashi, the power of the Mizbeach, in a way, is even stronger than Arim Miklat. The Mizbeach even works B'mezid. The Rambam, however, clearly holds that it only works B'shoigig. So if that's the case, what was his thinking by running to the Mizbeach? So it says the Rashba, that according to the Rambam, if the killing of the person who murdered did it b'mezid, but he didn't have Edom and Asra, then the Mizbeach would be effective. And here, he did it without Edom and Asra, and therefore, that was a mistake that he made. Abayam b'bohan nami mitatoy made another mistake. It only works for Koyin v'avoyda b'yada when he's doing the avoyda. For who? And Yoav was a czar. And Yoav was a czar, so it doesn't work. And I saw the way the Sefer Sridei Eish explains the Mechloikas Abayin and Rava. The Mechloikas is, how do we understand the power of the Mizbeach? Is it a din in the Gavra, or is it a din in the Heftza? Meaning, is it a din that certain individuals have a place of refuge by the Mizbeach? Which individuals? People are Kahanim? Or is it a din in the Mizbeach that's the power of the Mizbeach? Rav holds it's a din in the Mizbeach. And therefore, even though Yoav was a Kohen, was not a Kohen, the Mizbeach would be helpful. According to Abaya, it's only for a Kohen. Given that he wasn't a Kohen, it wasn't going to be helpful. The Gemara now mentions other cases where mistakes were made. Amrei Shlokish. Sholosh tois osu tsar shall roi me litois. So lovely, when Mashiach comes, the Sarai shall Esav, whose name is Samuel, is going to make three errors. The Ksiv, Miza ba me Adam, Chametz begodim me Batra. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to come from Batra, where he's going to eliminate the Sar of Roimim, his begodim will be blood, will be dirty from the blood from having killed him. Of course, it doesn't happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with blood of a Malach, but rather what it means is that he's going to avenge for all of the Jews that Edom destroyed. Ta, he made a mistake, because why is this taking place in Batra? So says the Gemara, because the Sar Shel Esav of Samal makes a mistake, Shen Eino Kaletes Ela Betzer. Betzer is the Ir Miklat. Hu Golu LeBatzra. And Betzer and Batzra are not the same. Ta Sheinu Keletes Ela B'Shoigig. It only works for somebody who killed B'Shoigig. the mezid hayu, and the tsar shalaisav did it be mezid. Ta and a kalatis adam. It only works for people v'hu malachu. And the reason it only works for people, explains the Marsha, because human beings by nature make mistakes. And therefore, since human beings make mistake, so therefore, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to correct our mistakes. One of the ways we have the opportunity to make correct mistake is by running to our miklat. A malach doesn't make mistakes. And therefore, the person, the malach, there's no such thing as our miklat. The Chedush Arim, the Sfasemis quotes the Chedush Arim, explains the Gemara al Pidrush. He says that what is the purpose of a person who did something like this to go to Golus? So he says the purpose of going to Golus is that the person doesn't have a place. And when a person doesn't have a place, he feels nichna, he feels downtrodden, and that's what causes him to do tshuva. A malach doesn't have a place. And since a malach doesn't have a place, that's why there's no concept of running to a place for as golus. Another pshat, says the Satmar Rebbe, he says that this is midah keneged midah. The malach, the samol, tries to fool people that there are different situations that he are really a mitzvah, really avera, a mitzvah. And that's why his downfall comes to in a place where it really also based on a complete mistake. Another pshat that I saw is the difference between, the Shem Shmuel says this pshat, what is the difference between a person and a malach? It says the difference between a person and a malach is that a malach is an oimid. A malach always stays by the same level. He doesn't go up, he doesn't go down. A person is a mahoilich. He goes up and down. Our miklat, running, the whole concept of running is that the person made a mistake, he killed b'shagig, but he has the opportunity to lift himself up, to become better. There is no such concept by malachim. Amar avua, our miklat le'nit l'kfura. Somebody should not be buried in our miklat. The ksiv, or megrisheim, we know, as we've been discussing, that the Ari Halavim could serve as a Ari Miklat. And the Tarak Daisha, when it describes the Ari Halavim, says, O Migrashem, yeah, the open areas, Yila Behemtam, is a place for the animals to graze. Ulurchusham l'chol chayosam. L'chaim nitnu, they were designated for living, v'loy l'kfura. They were not designated where somebody could be buried there. Meisvei, asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Shama, that when the person runs to the Miklat, Shamtei Derasai, Shamtei Misasai, Shamtei Kvurasai, that the person, if he dies in Dari Miklat, should be buried in Dari Miklat. Answers the Gemara, Tzeach Shani. Ritzeach is different. The Goli Berachmana, the Torah says, the special halacha, that he gets buried in Dari Miklat. And the way I saw the Ritva explains the back and forth of this Gemara. The Gemara's Havamina was that a Levi who lives there on a permanent basis, yet when he's Nifter isn't buried there, certainly the Ritzeach who doesn't live there on a permanent basis, if he's Nifter there, should not be buried there. But then explains the Gemara, by the Ritzeach there's a special halacha of that he's buried there, which only applies to the Ritzeach. It doesn't apply to the people who live there. Shem Shi'ir Kaletis, we learned that just like the city, the Ari Miklat have this ability to protect, Kach Tchuma Kaleit. Ask the Gemara, but doesn't the Brisa say, the Yoshaba, Ba V'lai V'tchuma, that the Tchum of the Ari Miklat is not effective? Answer the Gemara, Amabai L'kasha. Kan Liklat. The ability to provide this refuge is even within the tchum of the city. Kan, as far as ladur, as far as living there, that the ritzeach has to live there, there it's a different halacha. There's another concept in halacha. That's called the ibura shel ir. Anything which is within 70 amas of a city is considered the ibura shel ir. And the question that we need to discuss is how do we look at this as far as the person, as far as these halachas. Is the burushal ear considered like the ear, and therefore you can even live there or not? And it's actually a machlokes hapaiskim, as there is a machlokes a rishonim. If we just learned in our Gemara that the tchume ear is not a place where the ritzeich should live, what happened if the ritzeich does choose to live in the tchume ear? Will it the eved be effective or not? There's some rishonim says that the Meiri's opinion is that if he lives there on a permanent basis, then the Goyal Hadam could kill him. Other Rishonim disagree, and they hold that even though he shouldn't be living there, as our Gemara just taught us, if he ends up living there, the Goyal Hadam cannot kill him. Lador asked the Gemara to live there, typically, of course, the Ritzeich cannot live in the Tchuma ear, because the halacha is, the Torah speaks about the areas outside of the cities of the Levim. And the Pasuk says, Medoyis Mechutz La'ir, Apayim Ba'ama, Zeh Yilchem Migrash Arim, that you have to have 2,000 Amma around the city, designated for places for grazing, and places for empty, and places for growing, for trees. Typically, they in Oysum Soda, the area outside of the Arei Levim, Lemigrish, a place which designated to plant trees, you can't leave empty. Veloy Migrash Soda, and the place that's supposed to be empty may not be planted. And Loy Migrash Ir, Eloy Ir Migrash, the place where you're supposed to live can't be left empty, or vice versa. So of course he can't live there. So what's we're learning new? It can't be a place meant for living. Answers the Gemara. What's going to be the halacha about if somebody lived in a tunnel below the city? And we're learning that even though it's not disturbing the Migrash and the Sada, still you can't designate, that's not a place where the Goyal Dam, where the Ritzeich is supposed to live. Ritzeich Shiyotza Chutz L'Tchum. We learn if the Ritzeich goes out of the Tchum, then the halacha is that the Goyal Adam can do whatever he has to do. The pasuk says, "Umatzos Goyal Adam mechutz legvir im miklotoi." Says the pasuk, "V'rotz Goyal Adam es ritzeich ein leidam." Mitzvah biyad Goyal Adam. There's a mitzvah for the Goyal Adam to kill this murderer. Ein Goyal Adam. If there's no Goyal Adam, rishus biyad kol adam. That everybody else who, if it's not a Goyal Adam, everyone else could kill him. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Kiva says, so the question is, why is it dependent? If anybody could kill him, why should it only be the Goyal Adam? So the Aruch Haner explains that the way to understand Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion is that indeed this murderer may be killed by anybody, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. But the Torah gave a specific mitzvah sasei to the Goyal Adam. And if somebody else will do it, he's depriving a person of the mitzvah sasei that he is entitled to. And that's why Rav Yosef Glili says the Goyal Adam should do it. Kivaymer, Rishus B'yai Goyal Adam. The Goyal Adam is allowed to do it. For Kol Adam, everyone else, Chayovanov Misa. Everyone else is not allowed to. So the Pasuk Pshat way to learn the Gemara, says the Ritva, everybody takes it one step down. According to Beresa Glili, mitzvah b'yai Goyal Adam, and everybody else is a rishus. And according to Rabbi Kiva, the Goyal Adam is allowed to. And if we take everybody else one step down, everyone else may not. There's an interesting question that the Sefer Yad HaMelech discusses. He says that we have a rule, the Kala Tayra Kula, the Ein Shliach L'Dvar Veira. That if I ask somebody to do an Aveira, and he does it, I am absolved, and he's Chayiv, because Ein Shliach L'Dvar Veira, because the concept is, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishamim, that I have no expectation that this person did what I asked them to do. I have no expectation, because my expectation is that he will have done what Hashem wants him to do, not what I tell him to do.
So now we have a very interesting question. What would be the halacha in a case? What would be the halacha in a case where I asked where the goyel hadam asked somebody else to kill somebody on his behalf, to kill the murderer on his behalf? When do we say that there's no mitzvah to kill? We say that only in a situation where, for me, it's an aveira, and for the shliach, it's an aveira. And since for both of us, it's an aveira, I have a right to have an expectation that the person will not have listened to what I said, because how could the person listen to what I've said? Because what I told him involves doing something which is an aveira. My expectation may be that this person will not do an aveira. But here, since for me it's not an aveira, so I don't have an expectation that he's not going to do what I said. I have every expectation that he's actually going to do what I said, because I look at what's happening here as a mitzvah. And therefore, it seems that even though b'kol ha'Torah kula, we have a rule, ein shlich l'dvar aveira, and if somebody asks somebody to do an aveira on their behalf, it's not considered an act of shlichus. But if it's not an aveira for the mishaleach, then maybe it would according to Mekiva, in that case, where it's only a mitzvah for the goyel adam, we will not apply the concept of ein shlich l'dvar aveira. Ask the Gemara, my time, the Rabbi Yosef Glili. What does Rabbi Yosef Glili hold that it's a mitzvah for the goyel adam? Why doesn't he say it's only a reshus for the goyel adam? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Glili says, let's look at the words of the pasuk. Miksev imrotza, that the goyel adam has the right to choose. The pasuk says, virotzach, which indicates that he has a mitzvah to do this. Rabbi Kiva, why would Rabbi Kiva respond? Rabbi Kiva says, does the pasuk say, yirtzach goyel adam is ritzayach? If the pasuk says, yirtzach, that he must kill, then indeed it would be an indication there's a mitzvah for the goyel adam to do so. It only says, virotzach. Virotzach means that if he killed him, then he's allowed to kill him, but not that he has any such a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, third opinion. If Ritzach left the tchum of the Miklat, matzal dal dam for hargoy, and the goyel dam kills him, nergalov. He gets killed. Ask the Gemara, command. This is not consistent with anybody's opinion. Like Rabbi Yosef Glili, like Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, he has a mitzvah to kill him. According to Rabbi Kiva, he's allowed to kill him. So why would this goyel adam be chayiv for killing him? Answers the Gemara, Hu damakai tana. He holds like this tana. The tana Rabbi Leza Omer, v'lo yomis haritzeach ad omdo lefnei eidu l'mishpat, ma tama loimer. What is this pasuk coming to teach us? L'fisha nemar. Because the Torah Kedosha says, V'rotzo goyel adam suritzeach. Yochel, we would think miyad, that immediately, as soon as he meets him, he has a right to kill him. Tamaloymer ad omdel lefnei eidel mishpat. He has no right to kill him until the Bezdin, he's brought to Bezdin, and Bezdin tell this murderer, know that you have to go to the Ari Miklat, and know that if you're going to go to the Ari Miklat, and know that if you're going to leave the Ari Miklat, he will have a right to kill you. And therefore be careful not to leave the Ari Miklat with the repercussions. Rabbi Yosef and Rekiva asked the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef and Rekiva, who have been learning in our shir, that the Goyel Adam has a right to kill him under all circumstances without any Bezdin requirement. Asked the Gemara, Hai at Omdel Lefnei Mishpat, Mai Darshbe, what will they do with this pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Ha'umi Bai Lecha, Tanya Rekiva Oimim Menayin, Le Sanhedrin Shiro, Echra Harag Sanefesh, that if Sanhedrin, they saw somebody killing somebody, Shema Misanai Soi, they don't just eliminate the person, At Shiyamid Bezdin Acher, until there's another Bezdin that gets involved, Tamaloima Omdofnei Eidol Mishpat, At Shiyamid Bezdin Acher, until he stands in front of another Bezdin. So the Ritva wants to suggest that we learned on Daf Yud that Rav Huna told us that as the Ritzeich is running to Ari Miklat, if the Goyel Adam kills him, he's allowed to kill him. Here we're learning, says
the Ritva, that according to Rabbi Elazar, even if he was already in the Ari Miklat, that means he was sentenced to be in the Ari Miklat, and he leaves the Ari Miklat, the Goyal Adam may not kill him. And because of that question, the Ritva wants to suggest that what Rav Huna said in that shir, that the Goyal Adam could kill this person as he's running to the Ari Miklat, is only possible to be, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Elazar will certainly not agree that he could be killed as he's running to Ari Miklat. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "V'm yotze yotze haritzeach as gvul ir miklatai shiyana sham, v'matzai say goyal adam mechutz le gvul ir miklatai, v'ratza goyal adam as haritzeach en lo dam. En li ela b'mezid, only if he left the Ari Miklat deliberately, b'shaygig, how do we know if he left the Ari Miklat by mistake? How do we know that he's chayiv misa?" And the way that Rishva explains that he didn't realize where he was walking was already outside the Ar Miklat, or he made a mistake that he thought that under certain circumstances he may leave the Ar Miklat, even though the halachas he may not. Minayin, that even under those circumstances the Goyal Adam may kill him. Tamaloymer, im yotze yetze mikom mokayim. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, but the Braisa says that indeed, b'mezid, if the murderer left the Ar Miklat b'mezid, the halacha is nerag, the Goyal Adam is allowed to kill him. However, if he left b'shogeg, the halacha is the Goyal Adam is not allowed to kill him. All he has to do is goyla, go back to where he came from. How do we reconcile these two Braises? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Ha command Amar, the Braisa that says that he's not allowed to be killed if he went out b'shogig is command Amad Amrin in the Torah Kolosha b'nei Adam. And if the Torah says im yotza yetzei, it's not there to teach us that even if he went out b'shogig, is he allowed to be killed. Ha command Amar, the Braisa that says that even if he went out b'shogig, the Goyal Adam may kill him, is going according to the opinion the loy amrin in the Torah Kolosha b'nei Adam. And if the Torah says yotze yetze, it's there to teach us that even if he went out b'shogig, he's chayy. Even if he went out b'shogig, he's going to be chayy meisa. Omer b'ayim mestabro, command of the Torah Kolosha b'nei Adam. And therefore, the halach is that the Torah saying yotze yetze is not here to teach us that if he went out b'shogig, the Goyal Adam might kill him. The end of the story of this individual should not be stricter. The halacha of when he leaves the Ar Miklat should not be stricter than his actual act of killing. Just like if he killed somebody. If he killed somebody b'mezid, nereg, then he's killed. If he killed somebody b'shogig, he's goyla. Af soifoy, here we didn't do something as serious as killing somebody. All he did was wander out of the Ari Miklat. The halach will be, if he went out of there, if he left there b'mezid, then the halach is, nerek, he should be killed. But if he left there b'shogig, then he goes, only has goylus. Tani Chodek continues the Gemara. There's one braisa that teaches, Av Shaharig is benoy, if his father killed his son, Nasloi Goyal Adam, the brothers of this individual who was killed becomes a Goyal Adam to kill his father. But Tanya, another braisa says, Ein benoy nasla Goyal Adam, a brother of the victim doesn't become a Goyal Adam to kill the father, says the Gemara. Lema, how will we understand the machloikus of these braises? Harav Yosef Glili, that says there's a mitzvah for the Goyal Adam to kill, and therefore if there's a mitzvah, that mitzvah applies even for a son to kill the father. Ha, the braisa that says that there is no such mitzvah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and since there's no mitzvah, and it's his father, that's why he's not allowed to kill him. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, does that explanation really make sense? Bein l'man d'ama mitzvah, bein l'man d'ama rishus, whether you hold that the Goyal Adam has a mitzvah to kill, or whether you hold the Goyal Adam is allowed to kill, bein l'man d'ama rishus, mi shari, kid, a son kill a father. V'amar Rava bar Rav Huna v'chein Tana d'beir Rav Shmuel l'kol ein aban nasa shliach l'aviv. A son can never act in the position la koisai If a father is chayiv malchus, he cannot be the shliach bezdin to administer the malchus. Lo kolosoi, if the father is chayiv to be put into cheirim, the son cannot be the one that puts the father into cheirim. Chutz mi mesis. If the father is convincing people to worship Avodah Zarah, there even a son may do whatever he has to do to punish the father. Because the Torah says, regarding a mesis, the Torah goes out of its way to say, Shriyam Torah, loisachmav 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 loischasolav. So how can we ever suggest that a son should be the one to be the goyel adam against his father? Answers the Gemara loikasha. How do we reconcile the brises? Habe benoi, habe benoi. There's a difference between a son or a grandson. The son may not be allowed to, son may not do that to a father, but as far as a grandson, it is allowed to. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that, and the Marik says this Pshat, that Ein Odom Chaya B'Kvayit Tzaboy. There is no Chiyiv to respect the grandfather. Others explain that, of course, there's a Chiyiv to respect a father, but that the chiyuv of a father is greater than the chiyuv of kibud to a grandfather. So what happened over here? The grandfather killed his son, and now the grandson is going after the grandfather. So even though a grandson normally has to show kavod to a grandfather, that's only in a case where it's not at the expense of his father. Here, since he's the Goyal Adam for his father, he's allowed to do so. But the Marik, as we said, says that the Posh Pshat in our Gemara is that there's no Chiyuv Kibud for a grandfather. And that's why the Gros says that according to this Gemara, according to the Marik, there's no obligation for a grandson to say Kaddish for a grandfather. The Gemara Masechta Sota, Daf Mem Tes Amar Aleph, says that Reb Yaakov was raised by his maternal grandfather, and yet he says that he wasn't obligated to show kibbutz to his grandfather. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah paskins that even though, as we've been saying, the obligation of kavod to a father takes precedence over the obligation to show kavod to a grandfather, one is still obligated to show grandfather kavod as long as it doesn't conflict with the kavod that you have to show with the father. Says the Gra, what about the Gemara? How does the Ramah ask? How can we reconcile what the Ramah says with what the Gemara we just quoted from Masechta Sota? He says that the halacha maybe differentiates between a maternal grandfather and a paternal grandfather. But our Gemara doesn't make such a distinction. Says the Kli Chemda, our Gemara is like we said, we're doing it for the kavod of the father. And the kavod of the father comes before the kavod of the grandfather. And therefore, in our Gemara, as far as a Goyal Adam, it wouldn't make a difference if it's a maternal or paternal grandfather. The Achrayim also discuss that there may be a difference in the respect that one has to show to a grandfather if the father is still alive or if the father is not alive. He says that it could be that if your father is still alive, not only must you show respect to your grandfather, but maybe under those circumstances, the kavod that you have to show your grandfather comes before the kavod you have to show your father. Because since your father is obligated in the kavod of his father, that's included in what your chiyuv is. Only if your father is not alive, then would the halacha be different. And that's why the Yad Avram says we could understand our Gemara. Because our Gemara is speaking where obviously the father is not alive. Once the father's not alive, the obligation of kavod to a grandfather diminishes. Elon continues the Mishnah. Elon shayim b'taych tchum. If there's a tree that's within the tchum of the Eir Miklat, the noifai and the branches
noita mechutz l'tchum, and the branches jut out past the tchum. I omed chutz l'tchum. The tree is chutz l'tchum. The noifa noita betreich l'tchum, but the branches are within the tchum. The halach is hakol ha'lachach ha'noif. How do we determine if this murderer is an armikler or not? It refers, we determine where the branches are to make a determination. Ask the Gemara, Remini, the Mishnah says, Ilan Shu'oimid Bifnim. If you have a tree that's inside Yerushalayim, for Noitel Chutz, and its branches are outside Yerushalayim, Oimid Bechutz, the tree is outside of Yerushalayim, for Noitel Fnim, but the branches are within Yerushalayim. B'kenegad ha'chayim l'fnim, anything that's within the walls of Yerushalayim, k'lefnim, is considered like it's Yerushalayim. And the halacha is that in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we have to separate Ma'aser Sheni. And the halacha of Ma'aser Sheni is that two halachas. One halacha is that the Ma'aser Sheni must be eaten in Yerushalayim. And the second halacha is that whatever you could redeem the Ma'aser Sheni for money and just bring the money and use the money to buy food in Yerushalayim, but that's only until you arrive in Yerushalayim. Once the produce was actually brought to Yerushalayim, it can no longer be redeemed. It has to actually be eaten. So when determining what is Yerushalayim, the Mishnah there says, we look at what the wall is. Anything mekeneged ha'chayim lefnim is considered kelefnim, is considered inside Yerushalayim. And mekeneged ha'chayim lechutz, anything that's outside of the wall is chutz. So we don't follow branches. Answers the Gemara, Maisa Ari Miklet Karamas. You're asking a question between Maisa and Ari Miklet. Maisa b'choyim etali rechmona. When we speak about Maisa, the Torah determined that the determination is back based on the wall of Yerushalayim. Ari Miklet, when we speak about Ari Miklet, there's a different factor to consider. B'dira etali rechmona. Where do I live? And says the Gemara, b'noifoy, on the top of a tree is where people will live. Mistadale, that's where people live. Bikroi, on the trunk of the tree, loy mistadale, that's not where people live. And since that's not where people live, that's why it's not considered Yerushalayim. It's an interesting question regarding Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal and the Shas of Truvis Yabiya Omer has a discussion. Could somebody fly in a helicopter above the Har Abayis? And the question is, can somebody eat Ma'aser Sheni on top of a tree? And it was seen that a top of a tree is considered Yerushalayim. Presumably, that should be the halacha regarding what is considered the Har Abayis. But then Rav Avadia Yosef wants to say that, again, like Algamar distinguishes, there may be a difference in halacha between an area that what's considered Yerushalayim for one halacha versus what's considered Yerushalayim for another halacha. And maybe it's considered Yerushalayim for Ma'aser Sheni, but it's not considered Yerushalayim regarding when we speak about the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. There it may have different requirements how to determine what is or what isn't considered Yerushalayim. But ask the Gemara, V'rami Maisa Maisa. But now we're going to have a steer in Maisa itself. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Yerushalayim, when we eat Maisa, when it comes to eating Maisa in Yerushalayim, Holach Achanoif. The determining factor is where the branches are. Be'ar Miklat, Holach Achanoif. When we speak about Ari Miklat, we follow where the branches are. So this Brisa contradicts what we learned in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that Ma'aser Sheni, we look at the wall. And here it says we look at the branches. Answers the Gemara Amar Kana Loi Kasha. The Brisa that says we follow the branches represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, the Mishnah that says that Ma'aser Sheni, we follow the wall, is following the opinion of the Rabbonim. And now we could answer, explain the Rishonim, the question that we began with. We asked the stira between the halacha of Ari Miklat and the halacha of Ma'aser, and the answer will be that
this is a machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda follows even by Meiser the branches. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bemara, if you have a cave, which is partially in Yerushalayim and partially outside of Yerushalayim, Hoylech Acha Paschel. We look at where is the entrance to that cave. And if the entrance is in Yerushalayim, it's considered as if the cave is in Yerushalayim. If it's outside, then not. And Be'ilon, and similarly says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that by a tree, as far as Ma'aser Sheni rules are concerned, Halach Acha Naifa, we look at the branches. Says the Gemara, Aim of the Shamalei Rabbi Yehuda, when did Rabbi Yehuda say that by Ma'aser Sheni we follow the branches, by Ma'aser, that's only when the result of saying so will result in a chumra. And the halacha will be like this. Ikra b'chutz, if the tree is outside of Yerushalayim, v'noifa b'fnim, and the branches are inside Yerushalayim, we are machmer. The keich b'noifa l'matze parik, that once the ma'aser is put on the branches, it's considered as if it's in Yerushalayim, and as we said a few moments ago, that ma'aser sheni can no longer be redeemed. B'ikra, so too, if anything that's on the ikur, on the trunk of that tree, even though the trunk of that tree is outside Yerushalayim, namely Batsa Park, we won't allow anymore that ma'aser sheni to be redeemed. And vice versa. Ikur b'fnim, if the trunk of the tree is inside Yerushalayim, v'noifem b'chutz, and the branches are outside Yerushalayim, kehech de v'noifem le'matzel ocha b'le'bediyah, just like outside, on the branches, outside Yerushalayim, you can't eat the ma'aser sheni, because it's not Yerushalayim, and ma'aser sheni may only be eaten in Yerushalayim, so too the ikur on the trunk of that tree, which is in Yerushalayim, we're going to be machmer. You won't be able to eat ma'aser sheni on that spot. Elagaber Ari Miklat. When we speak about Ari Miklat, Bishlam in a case where ikra b'chutz, where the trunk is outside the Ari Miklat, the naifa b'fnim, and the branches are inside Yerushalayim, to geheich the b'naifa le'matzah katalhu, just like on the branches, the goyel adam can't kill him. We're going to hold b'ikra nami le'matzah katalhu on the trunk, even though it's outside the tchum. Adar Miklat, you can't kill. Ela ikur b'fnim, the knife of b'chutz, if the trunk is inside and the branches are outside, the keich the knife of matzah katalei, are we going to say that just like you could kill him, that the girl that could kill him by the branches, the ikur nami matzalei, he'll be able to kill him in the trunk? That's inconceivable. Hagavaykai, he's within the Ari Miklat. There's no way that we could be lenient on that. Amar Rava. Rava gives another teretz how to reconcile what we've been learning. It says the Mara beikroi when the trunk is inside the kulama lepligid lematzakotel. Everybody will agree that the goyel dam cannot touch the murderer. Koi benoifoi, if the murderer is on the branches, the yochel lahargoi bechitza betzroiris, and the goyel dam doesn't have to go up the tree. He could just throw arrows and spears at him. The kulam matzakotelei. Everybody agrees that he could kill him. He's outside of the tchum. And since he's outside the tchum, he's allowed to be killed. Ki pligi, where do we have a machloek sabi yudin rabbanon? Memeve ekra darga lenoifei. That he can't kill him unless he goes up the tree. And now the halacha is, so the tree is a stepping stone to get up to the branches. Masava ikadiroi that have an ikra dagal and naifai. The tree is considered like a step for the branches, and therefore he's outside and you can kill him. Masava lo have an ikra dagal and naifai. Since the trunk is inside the Ari Miklat, the goyel adam cannot go up that trunk to use that as a way to kill this murderer, even though he's on the branches that are outside the ear, Ari Miklat. Rav Ashi says a different approach altogether. He says that when we speak about Ma'aser Sheni, we say
we always go l'chumra, as we've been saying. When we say by Ari Miklat, so there the halacha is that if the knife is inside and the ikar is outside, so then we go l'chumra, that we're not allowed to kill him. Umay acha knife, what is it meant, acha knife? We use the knife always in both directions, that we go even acha knife, not to kill the person. Harig b'ayseir, if somebody ran to the Ari Miklat, and in the Ari Miklat he killed somebody, goyel m'shchuna l'shchuna, he has to stay in the Ari Miklat, but he doesn't remain in the neighborhood in the Ari Miklat that he was in, that he was there previously. Similarly, Ben Levi, if a Ben Levi who lives in one of the Ari Miklat killed somebody, goyel m'ir l'ir, he goes to a different city. Tan Rabbanim, the pasuk says v'lashloit tzad v'alkim ino l'yada v'samtel chamakim ashiyana shama v'samtel cha, says the Gemara, v'chayecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, even while he was still alive, he should identify the Ari Miklat, even though he wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael. He will have that mitzvah. Makayim v'makayimcha, that we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Levi, wherever he lived, is considered like the Ari Miklat. And that's the basis for the halacha we've been learning, that the Ari Levim have a din of Ari Miklat. Ashiyana Sham, Lamisha Yisrael, Maglin, B'midbar. Even before they came into Eretz Yisrael, Lahecha Maglin, where would they go if somebody killed B'shoigig in the Midbar? They would run to the Machna Leviyah. B'kan Amar Ben Levi Shaholig, if a Ben Levi killed somebody, Goyle M'plach L'plach, he goes to a different Ari Levi. Then Golo L'Pilchai, if he goes to a different neighborhood within the Ari Levim that he lived in, Pilchai Kaltai, that would also be sufficient. Amar v'achbarei the Rav of Maikra, the pasuk says, "Kibir meklata yeshiv, ir shekotus akvar." The city that he was living in till now, he continues serving in the capacity that he will serve as a refuge.